I want to begin this morning by reading a portion of Scripture from the book of Revelation. I'm going to begin reading in chapter 20 and verse 11. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and shall be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things were passed away. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our Father, our God, will you be pleased today to give these eternity-bound men and women the ability to cast their eyes now away from the things of time to eternity. Will you be pleased to speak through your word to the hearts of these immortal souls for their everlasting good and the glory of your Son? We thank you for your wise, adorable, and good providence. Thank you even for this painful event that brings us here to this place, this hour, and forces us now to number our days. We recognize that we're just vanity. Will you give us grace to apply our hearts to Christ, who is wisdom, to seek his righteousness and His cleansing through His precious blood from our deep-seated, horrible, evil, corruption, death, and sin. I ask for Kathy and the children that you'll be pleased to give them the comfort, peace, resting in your good providence, recognizing that our God does all things well. These things I ask for Christ's sake. Amen. I never met Ms. Murphy, known Darvin and Kathy, their children, most of their married lives. And you can imagine the difficulty of trying to prepare a message for the funeral of someone you never knew. And I thought about this a good bit the last several days, and I recognize that what I have to say today will do absolutely nothing for the woman whose memory we've come to observe. She lies here in this box, her body dead. But life is not over. There is life eternal, and there is a second death in hell. And we will be wise, very wise, to give consideration to those facts. This woman has gone to meet God in eternity. Eternity. What a heavy, heavy word. You and I live in a world where everything is temporary and changing and vanishing away. We're going to a world where everything is eternal and unchanging. And whatever our state is when we leave this world, that will be our state forever. Whatever our condition is when we leave this world, that will be our condition forever. Last night and this morning, I spent a good bit of time looking at this statement from the wise man Solomon. He said, if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, and the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. And Solomon's not talking about the falling of trees. He's declaring to us whatever our state and condition before God Almighty is when we leave this world, that will be our state and condition forever. When Ms. Murphy was alive, she chose not to hear the message I've come to declare to you today, when it may have done her some good. I pray that God will give you better wisdom and force you to hear what I have to say today. We read earlier John's description of eternity in Revelation 20 and 21, speaking of the judgment and declaring that all men will stand before God in judgment and every man judged out of the books, either the books of divine justice recording the sins and transgressions of men or another book called the Book of Life. Every man will be judged according to his works, in strict accordance with justice. And you can be assured the justice of God is blind. It gives no consideration to race or rank. It gives no consideration to knowledge or ability. Justice demands absolute holiness or everlasting death. One of the two. Justice demands that every man receive exactly that which is his due. according to his works. You will stand before God to be judged, and I will stand before him to be judged, not to be weighed in the balance and determine whether or not we have enough good works or enough bad works to take us to heaven or to take us to hell, but rather to declare the basis upon which we shall forever stand before God in the bliss of heavenly glory, or be cast into outer darkness in the second death, in eternal damnation in hell. If you stand before God on your own merit, your conscience verifies what I'm about to tell you, hell will be your everlasting portion. If you dare presume to stand before God, to meet God Almighty without a Savior, without a substitute, you shall forever be damned. The only way on this earth sinners can be made righteous and holy before God is by the doing and dying of another, and that is of Jesus Christ, God's darling Son, by His obedience and His death as the sinner's substitute, and by that alone we can stand before the God of glory, accepted, perfect, holy, and just. The last verse I read to you a moment ago declares that there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defileth. And the 11th verse of Revelation 22, just before wrapping up this book, the Spirit of God declares to us again exactly what He did in Ecclesiastes 11, verse 3. Where the tree falleth, there it shall be. The Lord God says, He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. Now in that passage of Scripture, Revelation 22:11, the Lord God describes for us two states in which you and I will find ourselves, one or the other, and two conditions in which all of us are in. A state of being unjust or a state of being righteous. A state of being filthy or a state of being holy. If we are found without Christ, we are unjust and filthy. If we're found in Christ, we are righteous and holy. Now let me make four statements to you. God help you to hear me. If you leave this world without Christ, you leave this world unjust before God. And unjust you shall forever be. Unjust. Not measuring up to God's law, not meeting the requirements of God's law, unjustified, guilty, condemned. If you're without Christ, your conscience tells you those things are so. I don't have to convince you. I can't convince you. But your conscience declares you unjust. You know you're going to meet God in heaven one day. You're going to meet God in judgment one day. And you have no basis upon which to expect any acceptance before Him because you're guilty before God. You're born guilty, and you've lived guilty, and you will die guilty unless God intervenes on your behalf. Here's the second thing. If you're without Christ, not only are you guilty, you're filthy. Filthy before God. What a word with which to describe the heart of man. What a word with which to describe the conduct of man. What a word with which to describe the best deeds and the best thoughts of a man. As filthy things, that's what we are. As filthy rags, that's what we are. Without Christ, that's the nature of every human being. That's the works of every human being. Filthy. The heart is filthy. The mind, filthy. Oh, preacher, I'm not that way. Which of you would like for everybody in this room to know what's going through your mind this morning? You're exactly as I've described, and worse. Filthy. Our deeds, our best deeds, are selfish and full of sin and serving self and acts of rebellion against God Almighty. And if you die without Christ, you will die filthy. And filthy you will forever be in hell. But bless God, that's not the end of what's revealed here. If you're in Christ by God's free grace, in Christ being born of His Spirit, in Christ by faith, believing Him, drawing life from Him, if you're in Christ, you're righteous. Righteous before God. Right at law before God. Right in God's eyes. Righteous because Jesus Christ's righteousness has been made yours. Just as your sin was made His and He suffered the just consequences of your sins at Calvary, you're righteous before God. And being righteous before God, having the righteousness of God as your own, you shall stand before God in everlasting glory, righteous, justly rewarded with eternal life with Christ in heaven. Imagine that. It is right for me, the vilest man you've ever looked at. It is right for me to enter into glory because Jesus Christ purchased it for me with His blood and earned it for me with His obedience. And God has made His righteousness mine. Not only that, if you're in Christ, if right now God has given you faith to trust His Son, if you're in Christ by God's free favor, in Christ, living in Him, because you're born of His Spirit, you're holy. And you shall be holy forever. Death changes nothing. Eternity changes nothing. Death is just the cessation of our state in this time world, but it changes nothing. He that is unjust when he dies will be unjust forever. He that is filthy when he dies will be filthy forever. He that is righteous when he dies will be righteous forever. He that is holy when he dies will be holy forever. You see, in order for you and me to stand before God Almighty accepted forever, we must be righteous and we must be holy. Perhaps you think, well, Brother Don, what's the difference between righteous and holy? Righteousness is a state, a legal standing. Holiness is a condition of life. Righteousness is that which God declares His elect to be in Christ. Holiness is what He makes them to be by causing them to be partakers of the divine nature. Holiness is that new nature put in God's elect when He gives them life and faith in Christ Jesus. It is Christ formed in you, the hope of glory. And this too you must have. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Well, if that's what righteousness is, if that's what holiness is, if righteousness is that which Jesus Christ alone can perform, and holiness is that which God alone can give, then salvation is not something you perform. It's not a work you can muster. It is that which God alone can give you. And it is that which God gives to every sinner who trusts His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath everlasting life. Will you trust my Savior? Will you trust the Son of God? Will you believe on Jesus Christ the Lord? Or will you live unjust and filthy? Die unjust and filthy, and spend eternity in hell, unjust and filthy. God help you. Oh, God help you to believe. Our Father, that sinners such as we are allowed to address the God of glory as Father, through Jesus Christ the Lord, because you have been pleased to give us the righteousness of your Son and to give us life in your Son. Oh God, we give you thanks. And we ask that what you've done by your grace for us, you will do by your grace for these who now hear your word. Lord God, will you do for them what they will not and cannot do for themselves? Sweetly, graciously, force your word into their hearts and cause them to believe on your Son. Amen.